This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Chris Massaro, professional sports bettor, will join us. We will do a little bit of everything, World Series, his football picks, and we'll even do some NBAs. The season started Tuesday night. Haven't really done any NBA since the draft. Maybe some free agency back in July, but you know, once the playoffs get here, once the playoffs are here, last year it was a lot of NBA. Pretty much, you know, most of the content was NBA. Just previewing the season with everything else going on in regular season. Not that much time, you know, to get to the NBA stuff. I've been spending more time on the football and the baseball. We'll do NBA a little more as the season goes along here, and we'll talk NBA with Chris here in a minute, as well as the World Series. I'll start with the World Series, and man, I miss these games Monday, Tuesday, not having the baseball. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like a TV show you're hooked on. You just can't wait for the next episode when your team's in it. And even if they're not, just you get so hooked on these games. Every game's the most important game. It's almost like I said, a TV series where every game is a different twist and turn. Every game, every pitch, every inning feels like the most important game, pitch, inning. And to go from having it, especially the drama of those Yankees Guardians games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and just not have anything yet. The Mets game Sunday, but nothing Monday, nothing Tuesday. We've still got a couple more days. I have really, really missed it. I'm sure people, you know, that are into the postseason feel the same way. But once it gets here, and I talked about this a little bit with Dave Ross on Sunday into Monday. Once it gets here, it is a dream World Series. I know if you're a Mets fan, you don't feel that way. And we're close to having a Subway Series, but my goodness, the stars with Ohtani and Judge and Betts and Soto, the tradition, the uniforms, the ballparks, there is nothing better than Yankees Dodgers. It's the biggest World Series. I'm trying to even think of what compares to this in my lifetime going in terms of just like the drama and the juice. I'm sure they're going to do a monster, like record ratings, especially when you compare it with Arizona, Texas last year. Just can't wait for this. Wish it got started a little sooner, but a monster series. Just so excited. And it's good for baseball. It really is. And this has been a good postseason for baseball. A lot of drama, a lot of, late inning theatrics. The Mets story was good. Having the Yankees in the mix was good. And it's been a great postseason. It's about to get even better. I hinted at this the other day. It's hard. Like I was impressed by the Yankees and the contributions they got from some of their other guys. This is a different animal. This is not Kansas City. This is not Cleveland. And it sounds like they're going to get something out of Cortez. Cortez deal with injury. He's going to risk it. Say, hey, if I get hurt and I have to miss the year, if I win a World Series, it's worth it. So good for him. We'll see how effective he is. And maybe that'll help because that to me, that's the issue with the Yankees. Can they get 27 outs in these games? Because their pitchers don't give them a lot of length. And they don't have, like, for a team that goes to the bullpen in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning every night, it's not like they have a bunch of reliable options. Now, they got the job done. Game five against Cleveland, they had some shutdown innings. But those games were an adventure, especially games 3 and 4 in Cleveland. You know, do you trust Holmes? Not really. I mean, Weaver has been good for the most part. But even, like, the secondary guys, the Tim Hills of the world, Canely, those guys are okay, but against this Dodger lineup, I just worry about getting 27 outs. So I'm leaning towards picking Dodgers in 7. I think it'll be a good series. I think it'll be a long series. I just don't know that the Yankees have enough pitching here. So game one, Cole against Flaherty, Dodgers minus 130, Dodgers minus 130 for the series. So pretty much same price game one as is the series price here. We'll talk about that with Chris Moore coming up. Before I get to the NBA and before we get to Chris, one game, the Thursday game, one NFL pick for me. I do like the Rams on Thursday night getting 3 against Minnesota. Minnesota's been underdog. Okay, they were a slight favorite against the Jets, slight favorite, like a 1-point favorite against Detroit. Now you're going to put them in the favorite role where you're laying 3 on the road. This is going from being, you know, the hunter to being the hunted. I think this is a different role, short week on the road. I would take the Rams plus 3 here. With that way, I just think this is a tough spot for Minnesota. And I just don't know. Once you go from getting points every week with this team or, you know, basically being a pick'em to now laying 3 on the road, that does seem like a lot. But as I mentioned, NBA season started on Tuesday night, and it does sneak up on you. My goodness, they start the season so early. I mean, we basically finished this season, middle of June, end of June. June 20th, June 17th, something like that is when the finals usually wrap up. To start the season October 22nd in a league where there's 30 teams, 20 of the 30 either make the playoffs or make the play-in. You play best of 7 here. Why do you need to start the season October 22nd? That year they had the lockout. It was 2011. They didn't start till Christmas. To me, that was perfect. I know there's NBA diehards, and I used to like the regular season more than I like it now. I still love the playoffs. To me, the regular season, I mean, you just look at Sixers-Bucks this game on Wednesday night. No Embiid, no Paul George, no Middleton. I mean, it's just you never get the guys playing on every night. So it's just it's hard to get into it. Aside from a betting standpoint, if you have bets, you know, futures, awards, things like that, of course you're into it, but it's just not the same night in, night out. And it was just, it's objectively a better product 20, 30 years ago than it is now. It's just a lot of load management. It's a lot of who's playing, who's not. It's very hard to keep up with. Well, that being said, it does seem like it's Boston and everybody else. We've gone a little bit here in a league that, you know, chalk usually prevails. It's been since 2017, 18, since we've had a repeat champion. We saw Denver run out of gas last year. I think Boston is in good shape to probably end that run of not having back-to-back just because the East, I know the Knicks are improved, but I still think Boston's better. I don't really trust Philly. I think Boston is in good shape probably here to get back to a final. We'll see who comes out of the West. I know a lot of people picking OKC with their depth with SGA. Feels like Denver, it's just sort of death by a thousand cuts where, okay, Jokic is the best, but you know they lose a couple role players. They lost Caldwell Pope. They lost Green a couple years ago. It just seems like that talent base is just being chipped off little by little. And it's Jokic, it's Murray, who's a good player, but a hot and cold player, not much else. So that is really the consensus finals I've seen is Celtics, Thunder, and most people have the Celtics beating the Thunder. So like I said, it's not a pick. It's not a league where, you know, you get a lot of upsets. You get a lot of, you know, 30, 40 to one shots, even 20 to one shots in the finals, winning the championship. I know Dallas last year was a little bit of a different story. Even Minnesota had long odds and almost got there. So maybe it's a new era of NBA where you can see some of these dark horses either, you know, win it or get close. But I think Boston is the favorite. I think Boston is the rightful favorite. So we will keep an eye on the NBA as it gets going here. I will say one pick I do kind of like. Charlotte is 50 to 1 to win the division at DraftKings. LaMelo Ball, look, he needs to stay healthy, but he's 6'7". He can shoot threes. He has all-star potential if he can stay healthy. And Brandon Miller looks like a future all-star. So it's possible you have two all-stars in a division with the Hawks, the Heat. Okay, the Magic are pretty good, but it's not like, you know, you have Boston or Philly or the Nuggets in that division. That's a fairly wide open division. And, you know, can Charlotte just have some monster out of nowhere year where they win 44, 45 games? That's enough to win a division. I think at 50 to 1, that is worth a shot. So we'll see what Chris Massaro thinks, get his picks. NBA, World Series, NFL, that is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast, and he is back. Professional sports bettor Chris Massaro joins us. Chris, fun time of the year, man. What's going on?
Hey, Will, congrats. Your Yankees made the World Series. It's only been about $6 billion and almost 15 years later, but hey, you made it.
Yeah, well, look, that was, I mean, you could see the relief when they clinched. You could see, I mean, it is an accomplishment just because, you know, they come so close. They lost to Houston all those times. They actually lost their last five championship series to get over the hump. Now, they had a soft path, and they have to play the Astros, the Orioles. Beating up on these AL Central teams is going to be different this time against the Dodgers. And we'll get to baseball in a minute, but the NBA season started Tuesday. I've done very little NBA. I've done basically nothing NBA since the draft or free agency, maybe. Before we get to baseball, who are you eyeing? I'll give you the floor. Who do you think's underrated, overrated? What bets have you made? Take it to whatever direction you like.
The only substantial bet that I've made so far in the NBA, and I usually do a bunch of futures and look at value for a conference championship or the NBA title, but there's just really no value this year. I mean, the Celtics are like 350 to win the championship. I mean, the Knicks are 7-1 in some places, 6-1, 8-1, tops to win the championship. So trying to go a little different angle. And I'm trying to look for teams that were improving at the end of last year that have good young cores, good coach. And the team that sticks out to me the most is the Houston Rockets. I bet them over 43.5, which is still available at DraftKings. In most areas, a little bit more juice now. I got it at minus 110. I saw some minus 120, minus 125. But Houston, very interesting stat. They do not leave the state of Texas for the first 2.5 weeks of the season. They open with Charlotte at home and Memphis at home. They go play two games at San Antonio before another game at Dallas. Then they come home for three more, Golden State, New York Knicks, and San Antonio again. So for 2.5 weeks, they don't leave the state. And for a good young team with a good young coach, Ika, who came from the Celtics, this team averaged 114 points a game last year, and I only think they're going to get better. They also just happened to sign two of their better players, that Alperen Sengun, the Turkish star, who led the team with 21.1 points and 9.3 rebounds last year. And they also signed Jalen Green yesterday, 3-year extension for $100 million, 19.6 points a game. This team doesn't have the marquee superstars, say like a LeBron or a KD or a Giannis, but they have a big core of young guys: Fred VanVleet, Jabari Smith, the draft pick from 2 years ago, Dylan Brooks, the controversial star, Cam Whitmore. All these guys are averaging double digits, and then they got first round draft pick sharpshooter from University of Kentucky, Reed Shepard. So I think with a really solid coach, and, you know, Udoka had some transgressions at Boston, but everyone knew he was a solid coach. This guy gets the team to play hard. They finished the season last year 16-7. At one point at the beginning of February, they were 25-34. They even threatened the play-in tournament. But they do need to improve on the road. They had identical opposite records. So not identical, but flip-flop records, 27-14 at home, 14-27 on the road. So if they can improve that road record a little bit, with this collection of young stars, I think Houston is a solid play for over. I bet them to make the playoffs, plus 109. And I took a little stab. I got it at plus 900 earlier. It's down to plus 700 for that division, just because San Antonio, they're not going to win the division. Dallas might have a little playoff letdown. They were in the finals last year. They got to integrate Klay Thompson. You never know with Memphis. They've had off-the-court troubles, on-the-court injuries. And New Orleans is another team that's always injured. So I think at a plus 700 or higher, that's worth a shot for that division for the Rockets.
Is it – what's the path? I'll ask it this way. What's the path for the Celtics not win the finals, or at least get back to the finals, because it does seem like there is a big gap between them and everybody else in the East, despite the fact that the Knicks, you know, added all these players.
I was listening to a couple podcasts this week about the NBA, and one of the mentions that they said could be a detractor was maybe, you know, the tension from the Olympics. Maybe it's a more of a, since they won it as a team, there's more me. Tatum Brown controversy. You know, Tatum didn't play. Brown wasn't on the team. Maybe Porzingis, you know, his injury lingers. You know, he already won the title now. He doesn't have that drive to come back. They do have some great role players, though. You know, White is such a glue guy, and Holiday is such a glue guy. I guess injuries are always a thing, because that's one thing I criticize a lot about the way the Celtics play, but you can't really criticize the fact that they do play all the time. They never take many nights off. There's not any load management like these other teams. The star players play, and that's what you got to look for an over. Like when I mentioned on Houston, you have young guys. OKC is another one. They have young players that play all the time. There's not guys sitting out. But for them not to make the – I saw this morning they're minus 9,000 to make the playoffs. So – I mean, obviously, they're going to make the playoffs, but I would think only injuries would derail them from getting to the Eastern Conference Final, unless they somehow matched up with the Knicks in the second round, and that Knicks team is pretty pesky. I'm not sure how the Cat trade is going to work out for them. Not many people are big Cat fans, but we'll see. They could use an extra big, because they were very guard-dependent last year, but getting rid of DiVincenzo, I'm not sure that's the best move for the Knicks.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, Towns, because that was a strange trade, the timing of it. Boy, it wasn't really rumored. I mean, I know there's been a link there because the agency was CA for a while, but that just sort of snuck up out of nowhere. It was a Friday night. By the way, Towns goes to the Knicks. That was just kind of out of nowhere. What was your take on the trade? Because like you said, Towns is a polarizing player.
Yeah, he's not the type of guy that can handle Minnesota. How's he going to handle New York City with the crowd always on top of him all the time? And the fact that they broke up DiVincenzo, who's like the kind of the other glue guy from the whole Villanova group. I mean, and that guy was so clutch down the stretch. I mean, when he wasn't hurt, he was just the guy. He could heat it up like nobody's business. He hit like, you know, almost like a Klay Thompson or a Steph Curry type of situation where he just gets heated up. He's hitting three or four threes in a row. And it just, you know, I'm not saying Towns is a horrible player, because when he's playing good, he's obviously excellent. He's been an all-star. But he just says things that kind of rub people the wrong way, like he's the greatest big man shooter of all time, things like that. I'm not sure how that's going to play in New York. And if they're all over him after a couple bad nights, is he going to be able to get his head straight to get it going? And also playing for Tibbs, I'm not sure if that's a good mix either. I mean, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that's always in the best of shape and conditioning, and they kind of run him hard in New York. And Tibbs doesn't let up. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. Tonight's game I'm not sure which way I would lean on it. You know, the NBA is much better for me to play in game. If you take a position on an underdog, sometimes I like to do that and come back with a favorite if the dog gets up early. But I don't have a play in the game tonight.
And the last one on basketball, most people that I've seen, the prediction is Celtics Thunder finals. A lot of people, Celtics over Thunder. It's always tricky when everyone's picking the same thing. It usually doesn't work that way. But would you go with that? Or would you go with something else in terms of a final here?
I think Minnesota has a legit shot. I mean, they got rid of, which a lot of people, I mean, it's just, it's difficult. They had so many bigs, okay? And they got rid of one big, but now I think Naz Reid's going to get to play a lot more. They get another scorer in DiVincenzo. They have the second coming in Edwards. So I think, and they were on the cusp of it last year. Somehow they lost to Dallas after they just beat, unfortunately for me, they beat Denver. I think Minnesota has just as good a shot as OKC. I think OKC is definitely good. They're still young, but I think there's more like killers on Minnesota's team. Edwards and Reed, DiVincenzo, I would take them over Chet and, SGA and whoever else they want to throw at me is their third guy. But, obviously OKC is a great team. And like I said, they're very young, well-coached. They play every night. So they're definitely going to win a lot of games. If you're going to go, I would never take an under on them because they're just that good. But when it comes down to the playoffs, I kind of want the killers like Edwards and DiVincenzo.
World Series, we hinted at it earlier. I lean to the Dodgers here. I just don't know that the Yankees get enough out of their starting pitching combined with do they have enough quality relievers. It's one thing to be Cleveland. It's one thing to be Kansas City. Like I said, the bracket really broke well for them. Dodgers are a different animal. Dodgers have home field for whatever that's worth. So I would lean towards the Dodgers here. Do you have a play in the series, game one, anything?
Oh, I'm hoping for an earthquake. No. No, I can't make a pick on these two teams because it's like probably my two least favorite teams in baseball. But I will say this, and I was I heard Bob Nightingale on VSiN last night, and I've been friends with Bob for a long time, and I shot him a text after his appearance, and he made a great point about Walker Buehler, and it's like if Walker Buehler is back, the Dodgers are like set up a lot better than you would have thought, and we discussed how the bullpens. The good bullpens during the season weren't good during the playoffs, and the bad bullpens during the season were great during the playoffs. And I looked at the Yankees bullpen, and God bless them, Luke Weaver, Tim Hill. Tim Hill was on the Padres, and he was awful. And now he looks like the second coming of, like, Dan Quisenberry. I just can't believe how he got out of those two innings, and then he came back again for another inning. He has a 1.59 ERA in the playoffs, Weaver 2.6. But I just don't think the Yankees pitching – has faced any sort of lineup like they're going to face versus the Dodgers. So if I was going to pick, I would lean Dodgers, like you mentioned, like you said, because, I mean, these lineups, they face Cleveland and Kansas City. They're just not remotely close to what they're going to have to face for the Dodgers. But what I do want to make a point is I'm excited about just how the stadiums and the crowds, and you mentioned yesterday on the pod with Dave about the uniforms. It's just, it is going to be exciting. Like just the whole nostalgia of baseball. And I'm excited for that. Just like the clean, crisp uniforms with the great stadiums and the settings. And when base runners get on, it's going to be electric. They're not small state. There's going to be 60,000 at each one of these places almost. And it's just going to be great.
Yeah. Baseball. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. They've had a really good postseason. I don't like the layoff here, but they've had a good postseason. Now you get the ultimate dream where last year you got Texas and Arizona and a lot of people lost interest. This is going to be, like you said, it's going to be electric, and it's going to be so much fun. So it sounds like you're leading the Dodgers. Any prediction how many games?
No, I would say maybe Dodgers in six. They come back and get the first game back at home after the Yankees part of it. But, I mean, I could also see maybe Judge catches fire. You know, we still haven't seen that yet. I mean, Soto's amazing. Stanton's on a great roll. They just don't – these other role guys just really aren't contributing as much as you like. As you go back and look at it the other night when they won, it was a home run from Stanton, home run from Soto, and that's it. There's not much else there. That they're not stringing together like back in the day, a single here, a double by Bernie Williams, and then another double by Giambi or whatever. It's just a different way of playing baseball. And if they can somehow pitch around those three guys, I like their chances better, just because I don't think the Yankees, like I said, have faced anything close to what they're gonna have to face with Ohtani, and hopefully Freeman's healthy for him, and Betts. And there's just so many guys. And look at this, Tommy Edman, the kid from San Diego, is just out of nowhere. You know, the guy was, he was so much, so confident. He's hitting home runs. He's doubles. He's just all over the base pass. There's just more at batters, I think, on the Dodgers that the Yankees are going to have to deal with. They haven't dealt with the whole season.
Anything in football you like this week?
A couple things. Just to have a little, I usually look at the college card early and find a bunch of dogs that I like. I just haven't delved in as much. Just a little fun parlay I thought was good. It's a little chalky, but I'm going to go with it anyways. Kansas State plays Kansas, and they play at Bill Snyder Field. And Bill Snyder, even though he's not the coach anymore, has always made this his most important game of the year. They've won 8 straight. They just never lose. They never seem to lose this game. They opened at like 9.5 point favorites. It's up to 11. You know, the money line's anywhere from 360 to 400. But if you combine it with Indiana, who is facing Washington, yes, Washington's coming off a bye, but you got game day going to Bloomington. You got a really prolific offense in Indiana. And you see these stats that I think are kind of bringing the line under 7 for Washington, is that Washington is the number one rated pass defense in the country. But if you look at it, they played 5 teams. Well, they played Eastern Michigan and Weber State, so I'm not even a cop. But they played 5 teams that don't even throw a forward pass. They played Rutgers, Northwestern, Michigan, Iowa, teams that just are all ranked at 100th or higher in passing yards. So I think that stat is a little misleading. So I'm going to combine those two, K-State, Indiana, Moneyline Parlay. It's minus 127. You can get that at DraftKings. In the NFL, I am going with two dogs, because the dogs are eventually going to have to stop barking in the NFL. The last couple of weeks, it's in all favorites. But a friend of mine, Brian Conley, back east, he brought this to my attention. And I had already bet the Rams, but he brought to my attention yesterday that the team that plays Detroit the next week has yet to win a game. The Rams the next week lost, Tampa the next week lost, Arizona the next week lost, Seattle the next week lost. The Cowboys lost to Detroit, but they had a bye week last week. So we'll see. That doesn't really matter. I just think the physical type of play that the Detroit Lions exude on the offensive line, and just the whole Dan Campbell type of play, and that extra energy that they perform with. It's a tough turnaround for the team to play the next week. And it's shown these teams, Rams, Tampa, Arizona, Seattle, they all got blown out the following week. The scores weren't even close. So just an angle I'm looking at. I like the Rams +3. I like them in the money line. And I think Cooper Kupp's going to be back. They're getting some O-line help back. So I think last week was kind of a little bit of a test run for McVay. And I don't want to say that, Minnesota, they're on a good run. They had a tough game. But I just think there's a little bit of a coaching advantage with McVay. And on a short week traveling, I really think the Rams are, a strong play at +3 and a little bit on the money line. One other game I'll give you is Seattle +3. You got McDonald, the coach there. He knows Allen. He was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens. He knows how to defend Allen. And Buffalo's had 3 road games this year. They're crushed by Baltimore. They lost to Houston, which was a lot closer game than it should have been after Nico Collins got hurt. And then they had the miracle win at the Jets. So this is their 4th road game in 5 weeks. They're going to travel all the way out to Seattle. And I think you can run on this Buffalo defense. I'm not sure why Tennessee abandoned it last week. They kind of just abandoned the whole game plan. That team's kind of a disaster. But I think Seattle, with a healthy Kenneth Walker, is going to be able to run the ball. This might be a high-scoring game, but in the end, I think Seattle gets it done +3.
Yeah, back to your point about Minnesota. As good as they've been, this is a new role for them, a road favorite. They were underdogs in all of these games until the Jets. They're like a 1 or 2 point favorite, like 2.5 point favorite. And even last week was like a coin toss game, 1.5 point favorite. Now you're laying 3, you're on the road. Different story. So, yeah, I would agree. I would look towards the Rams. Chris, you're the best man. Appreciate it. Let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter and everything.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Real Gage. That's RealGage. You can find me there, always commenting in-game about ridiculous refs and annoying announcers and whatever else I can find that drives me nuts on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Chris, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Will. Talk to you soon.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Chris Massaro. We'll be back Friday to discuss game one of the World Series. We'll do more World Series, NFL picks, a usual Friday show. Getting excited. The countdown is underway. So rate, review, subscribe. See you Friday.